This episode of Spawned is brought to you by Sunbasket. They deliver delicious meal kits full of organic produce and clean ingredients right to your door, making healthy cooking easy and convenient for any busy lifestyle. They've got 18 healthy options to choose from every week, including paleo, gluten-free, lean and clean, and vegan. Go to sunbasket.com/spawned today to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/spawned for $35 off. Hello and welcome to Spawned, a common sense and hopefully fun discussion on parenting and parenting culture. Hey, I'm Kristen Chase, and wait, Liz, where's Liz? Okay, don't worry. I know people might be freaking out. Liz is fine. She has not gotten lost inside a Sephora. She's actually away in South Korea right now. How awesome is that? But in her stead, we have another cool mom picks mom here with us today, our director of partnerships and mom of three, Lisa Barnes. Hey, Lisa.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We are going to be chatting about kids' sports today on this episode of Spawned. The good, the bad, the very ugly. What to expect, what you've experienced, and what parents should know and, you know, should and should not do. And as always, we will close out our show with our cool picks of the week. All right, so Lisa, I have already talked to you about this story that happened to me with my son's hockey. It's like every year I feel like I talk to you about my son's hockey.
Every season.
And I should say, the reason why we have Lisa on the show, not just because like she's our good friend and we love her, but also Lisa has three kids. They have played, I'm pretty sure, every single sport, every level of sport out there. And you have a college student, a high school student, and a middle school student.
I do.
So you really know what you're talking about when it comes to youth sports.
I don't know if I call myself an expert, but I will call myself at least experienced. Talk about every sport that you could possibly play, anything from rugby to water polo. Crazy. The only thing they've never done is ice skating. I will say that.
Well, I have that covered for us today, so we should be good.
Thank you.
And we should also mention, which I think is kind of funny, is that neither Lisa nor I ever played sports growing up.
Oh, no, not at all. I was a ballerina.
Me too.
Yes.
Me too. Ballet and theater. And music. So sports for us came when we became parents. So that's how we're going to look at this conversation today. I think it's a hot topic. I was just looking in the news, Lisa, and I know that this is not national for you, but for me here in New Jersey, it turns out just today, lawmakers are warning parents to behave at their kids' sports games. Can you believe that we've got to get law involved in this now?
Sadly, I can actually believe that. I think parents are maybe the number one reason that kids are walking away from sports.
Well, I'm going to get to that because I actually data nerd, in honor of Liz, who's not here, I did a little data nerd searching to share with you. But here's the deal in New Jersey, at least. Assemblyman John Bersicelli is saying parents get overly involved. And he's proposing tougher penalties. He's saying it becomes a crime of the third degree that's punishable by a term of imprisonment of 3 to 5 and a fine of up to $15,000 or both. So basically, if you don't like the officials calling the game, he says you should think long and hard about whether to charge the field and physically assault that person. Now, I have never physically assaulted anyone at a sports game. I have yelled at a referee. Lisa, do you want to come clean here before we get started?
I actually have never yelled at a referee. However, I will tell you, when I was a director of girls coaching for a lacrosse team in California, I did see a coach go after a youth referee, if you can believe that.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. I mean, at that point, I was like, come on.
And by the way, for folks out there, a lot of refs in these leagues, because there's so many leagues right now, there's club teams and local teams and school teams, it's hard to find refs. And so thankfully, a lot of these refs are students. They're middle, like, I don't think they're middle school, but high school, college kids. And we're talking about like adult coaches going after high school aged kids, which is just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I was actually writing a letter the other day to a group of parents, and I said, you know, sometimes I think we have to be careful as parents and make sure that our passions for our kids, you know, we don't mistake that for what the passions of our kids are.
Interesting.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's, I'm going to quote you on that.
Well, you know, you see parents and understandable. I mean, my daughter plays a competitive level of lacrosse, and I have seen her get hit pretty hard. And, you know, as a parent, you want to jump up and run out there and rah, but you kind of have to back up and be like, there's a referee on the field. My daughter's playing her game. Like, let her do her thing.
Right. And that's why the coaches make the big bucks, or not really. That's why the coaches. Well, we'll get to that. But the reason why I thought of talking to you about this is that just last week, yet again, this is the second out of the third year for my son with his club ice hockey team. He's 11 years old. So now he's a peewee. He was a squirt. Interesting names, ice hockey. Interesting names. But anyway, we won't go there. So basically, I would say he's like in the middle of the pack. So he's not like the super awesome star goal maker, but he is also definitely not at the bottom of the totem pole. However, we are expendable for whatever reason, and we can talk about why I'm not chummy with the coaches, or, you know, we don't go to all the parties, or, you know, my kids, their dad is not a coach. We've got four coaches, so all four of those kids are on the team. But anyway, I think that he's felt kind of low on the totem pole. I mean, when you don't make a team 2 out of 3 times and then you get moved up, I think it's kind of hard to feel like you're a valuable person on the team. So this year he got cut again. And I think we're kind of like, third time is the charm, Lisa. We're kind of like, I think we're going to maybe move on to a different club at this point in time. And, you know, it just got me thinking, like, do I email the coach and like say I'm annoyed? Do I call him up, or do I just leave it alone? And then, is it really important for my kid to be playing on a double A team? Like, is it cool for him to be playing on an A team? I just think there are so many other parents out there that are going through these kinds of thoughts. And listen, whether you listeners have babies right now or you don't have kids at all, I think maybe you've played youth sports. It has changed a lot. And it, granted, Lisa and I didn't play.
Absolutely.
But hasn't it changed? Like, has it changed since your oldest started and now your son is playing? What's the evolution been?
I think it changes more and more because there's more clubs everywhere, right? So then if someone likes this soccer club, but then they don't like what their kids are doing, someone else starts another soccer club and you go to that one, and then you're caught up in this community of peer pressure. Like, who's got the best club? Whose kids are going to play at the top level? Who's going to go to college? And I think that parents in general get so caught up in kind of that peer pressure, almost like the FOMO. I don't want my kids to miss out. I want them to have all these amazing experiences, that we kind of forget the reason for sports in the first place. I mean, it's to help your kids develop a new skill, to develop some sportsmanship, to have camaraderie, and most of all, heaven forbid, have fun.
What's that? Fun?
Right?
I don't remember that. I mean, I should tell everyone too, like, Lisa and I feel very similarly about youth sports. You know, one of the reasons why I was disappointed that my son didn't make the higher level teams for the last 2 years, quite frankly, was not a skill thing so much as he had made connections with these kids. Mm-hmm. We had made connections with the families as well. And for me, part of playing on a team is that you develop relationships. And I think for kids, especially for my kids where we've moved around a lot, we've had, you know, divorce and all those kinds of things, it's really important to me to foster those relationships.
Absolutely. Well, in the same, we've moved, I think this is what, our 17th house? We've moved
a lot,
right? And every time, the first thing that was important to me was getting my kids involved in a sports team, because there's so much that you can learn from it. And the friendships that you make because you have something in common. I think one thing that I've noticed that is hard, and you kind of mentioned this, is when you do have parent coaches that sometimes are not necessarily in it for the right reason. And we have had amazing parent coaches in my 20 plus years experience.
Same here.
Amazing, amazing. I highly salute parents that take the time to volunteer.
It's a ton of time involved. It's a ton of time.
So much time.
However, I feel a however coming.
However, every once in a while, you get into a situation where the coach's passion for what they think they want their kid to see, they get blinded and they forget that there are 20 plus other kids who have needs and need developed. And it's not just about your own child's experience, but about a group of children's experiences.
And I think for the most part, you know, I'm thinking about our listeners and whether you're looking into sports or you've had the same experience. I mean, for the most part, we have always had parent coaches. And honestly, like you said, I salute them because it's such a time commitment. Most of the time they're not getting paid. They're out in cold weather. Like I think of like the field hockey coaches this past weekend when it was like super nice on Saturday, 80 degrees. And then all of a sudden it was snowing in 30 and they're out there. So I salute them like you, but I do think you're right. I think it has to be very challenging to not be biased,
yes,
to really consider the instruction of the whole entire team. And I think it's hard whether the coach's child is awesome or even if the coach's child isn't as great as the other players, it just creates a unique challenge that I don't think that everyone can handle. Like, I don't think I would be able to handle it myself. That's, well, also I don't play sports. That's why I don't coach. But
well, I've also seen like the opposite thing where sometimes like the parent coach is like so much harder than
yes, that's a great point.
Than they are on others. Like yeah. There's a lot can be said with the coach and the player relationship. I think if you want to be a parent coach, maybe you coach the team that your kid's not on.
Yeah.
Like maybe you coach the B team and your kid's on the A team. Or I don't know. I just think that, you know, in today's society where there's like this high pressure to be the best, or what my kids called it the other day was the GOAT.
Yeah. Yeah. The GOAT. That's awesome. Well, don't you think though that that's one of the things that's changed? I mean, it's hyper competitive. I feel like kids are getting younger and younger. We're hearing about like 13-year-olds signing to play college. Like it's insane.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's become insane. And I feel like it used to be okay. Like, I think in the last however many years, it's gotten such where also parents are just way more involved. I mean, I just think back to like ballet and the stuff that I used to do.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom would like drop me off. Like, she wouldn't sit and watch practices.
Oh,
and
never.
Now
never.
Every parents are out there yelling at practices. Mm-hmm, I'm like, dude, it's not even a game. And it's scrimmages where it doesn't really even matter. So I feel like as a parent coach, the challenge is greater because parents are so much more involved.
So much more and more critical, like watching
yes.
you all the time. And even yes. with social media, I feel like you are always under a microscope. And it's a little bit unfair. I mean, when my son started playing football, I still remember it was like he had the best experience with his coaches, everything, but I thought it was crazy. I would go to drop him off and there were parents with lawn chairs like lined up to watch practice.
Yeah.
And he's like little, he's a little guy. And I'm thinking, what? I was like, I'm going to get my nails done.
Yeah,
like,
right? Right. I'm going to go run some errands. I mean, I do
like,
stay.
This is his thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I ended up staying at hockey because I just get worried. But I guess also like that's a new thing too. Like kids have played hockey for many, many moons and they've gotten hurt. And there's a good chance their parents weren't there at practice. And they called them from a payphone and somehow someone got them. So everything was okay. But let's talk a little bit about parent involvement, because I was just reading an article. It's from a couple years ago, but I think a lot of it still stands. And it's on CNN. And again, anything we talk about today on the podcast, we're going to link up over on our Cool Mom Picks podcast page. So make sure you head over there if you're curious about any of these links. So a couple things. They talk about how 70% of children leave organized sports by the age 13.
Yep.
And they're saying the number one reason is actually not parent involvement. It's actually injury.
Interesting.
Yes. But also they are saying that it's because kids are focusing solely on one sport very, very early.
Yes.
And there's a level of burnout. And so I'm wondering, what do you think about in terms of parental involvement? Do you think like we just become so engrossed in like our kids doing amazing at soccer that we lose sight of the fact that it is supposed to be for fun and to learn life skills and teamwork and sportsmanship?
Gosh,
like, what do you think about that?
I think that there's a lot to all of it. I think that if you look at our generation and with Facebook and Instagram and, you know, always people posting pictures of these amazing things that their kids are doing. And you're like, it's almost like a braggery thing. Like, my kid's amazing too.
Yes.
I think that,
yes.
you know, there's kind of pressure to like push your kid to perform. And sometimes I think that we forget to listen to our kids when they start saying, I don't want to go to practice. I really don't like going. I don't enjoy it. And I think there really does need to be some more parent listening to what your kids are saying. Because if they're telling you they're not liking it for a reason, maybe they are starting to get an injury. Maybe they want to do something that's a little different. and not just keep pushing them and pushing them, pushing them to become elite or become a professional. They're not professionals yet, but if they wanted to become a quote unquote professional at a sport at such a young age, is that realistic?
I feel like we certainly treat it like that. Absolutely. In some ways. You know, I think about myself, like with violin. I mean, I did that as a career, and I also could have probably done ballet as well. I was doing ballet like 5 hours every day. I was doing violin 3 hours every day. It was pretty much my whole entire day, ballet and violin. But that was a rarity back then.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is so different. I think you're seeing super high performance levels from a lot of children, which you didn't see before. And I feel like there's not a lot of room for people who are average or maybe just above average at a sport. It's very hard to be that person on the team. And I've talked to you about this actually, like last year when I talked about my son, I was thinking, wow, it's got to be really hard to be on a high level team and be good, but not be super awesome.
Right.
Because you kind of look bad, actually. Like, you look like you're not good when you're on a team of people that are like super crazy elite. And it stinks for those kids, I think, because
right.
they're like, oh, I'm not really good at this. When actually they are, they might just not be playing with the right people or on the right team or maybe with the wrong coach.
Absolutely. And from experience, my third child is my son. He's a boy. I have two girls and then I have my son. And he's an amazing athlete. He really, truly is. Anything he goes out to do, he makes the A team. And I'm always like, I'm kind of the annoying parent because I will call the coach and I will say, I don't want him to be on the A team because he's not competitive. The kid has zero competitive bones in his body and he just wants to have fun. He just wants to play.
Yeah.
And when coaches and parents start yelling at him, he's like, I'm out. And he literally does just quit because he doesn't like the pressure and the competition.
Right.
And I keep begging him, like, please put him on the B team. Please put him on the C team because he just wants to play and not have that constant like microscope and yelling and
yeah.
pressure. And I think as parents, we have to stand back and look at that a little bit and say, like, what kind of pressure are we putting on these kids? Are they really going to be playing when they're 45 years old at a competitive level?
Or are they even really going to be playing in a Division I or like Division III or whatever kind of school? You know, I think that comes into play for a lot of people. Like, college is more expensive. People are looking at sports scholarships. Like, people are starting earlier. I think it's definitely a culture.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just like a standalone situation. I think there's a lot happening. I think we're more helicoptery as parents. We're looking ahead at college being more expensive.
Yeah, but I mean, to tell you the truth, and I'm going through this with my middle
yeah.
one, who's going through kind of like trying to get recruited and everything. There's not college money. Like, I hate to break it to any parents that are listening that are like, my kid's going to college on a full ride athletic scholarship. No, like, you may get a little tiny bit for books.
So basically study hard, get a good GPA and take your ACT and SATs. And by the way, it's expensive. This is so expensive. It's super expensive. And I feel like maybe we should be spending money on tutors.
Honestly, that or putting the money into, and it's, again, you have to listen to your child because, like I was saying, my middle right. child, she's a different person. She's driven. She has wanted to play since she could walk. She's just uberly competitive. She does three competitive sports and she wants to play in the next level. But that's where, you know, we have paid for her to do different club stuff and we have paid for private coaching because that's what she wants. And she's the kid that's out
right.
practicing by herself against a wall for hours. Like, so, you know, when you look at it in that perspective, you have all these kids that have different needs and wants, and there's no like one size fits every single kid.
Well, I think that's a good point. I mean, you mentioned listening to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back to the point you made, though, about like wanting your son to be on the B team, because one of the situations that I found that is frustrating, and I don't know if you see this too, but it's either like super elite club team that's expensive and you're expected to play at a high level, or it's just like intramurals.
Yeah.
You know, kids that are basically just like hanging out. Like, the first time she played field hockey, there was literally a little girl who was doing like a cabaret number on the field hockey field with her stick.
That's awesome.
And I'm going, okay, like, that's great. But then you've got kids on the team who like want to learn how to play.
Right.
You know, meanwhile, that mom should be watching her child and been like, that girl needs to dance. She does not need
right.
to be out on that field hockey field. But, you know, like, I feel like there's no middle ground. And the problem is that if your child, like, if your child gets to the point of like 8 or 9, which like that's where like my sweet
mm-hmm.
spot is now. My
that's
oldest is 13.
Right.
I have 11, 9, and 7. You basically age out of learning something new because
right.
it's so competitive. Like, my daughter, Margot, who plays field hockey, wanted to play soccer in the spring. And I was like, great. Well, you can't play on a travel team because that was already determined the year before.
Oh, that's crazy.
And then intramural was like not competitive at all. So there's like no middle ground for kids who just want to have fun, want to be a little competitive, but aren't planning on playing in college.
So, you know, what's interesting is that I have seen that. And like I said, we've moved all over. One thing I'm starting to see in, it was in California, and now here we're in Boulder, Colorado. And what I'm starting to see is there are some clubs forming that are literally just for those kids that are not beginners.
That's fantastic.
But not competitive, but are like that middle. And they're so fun to watch. I call them the Bad News Bears because they're having so much fun. And they're like all over the field and they're winning and they don't care. They're having so much fun. And as a human, but as an adult parent, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm having so much fun watching them because there's not any other crazy parents screaming on the sideline or coaching their kid or making their kid cry from across the field. It's literally just fun. you know, because that's one of the things that we were talking about, like, you know, listening to your kid, but then at the same time, there's parents that I feel like, and I listen to them, like yelling at their kids, coaching their kids, and their coach is actually over there coaching on the other side.
Right.
And you watch
right. The parent coaches.
Yeah, they're in the middle of the field and the kids are like, if I don't listen to my coach, I'm going to get in trouble. If I don't listen to my parents, I have to go home with them. Like these poor little kids.
That's so true though. That's so true. My son plays flag football in the spring and it's like just a fun thing for him to chill out. Like there's no like big trophies, like no banners. It's just fun. But then get this. This year they sent a letter around that was like, all children must wear black shorts and black socks because last year there were children who were wearing neon green shorts and socks to match the flags to camouflage the flags.
What?
And I'm like, come on. Can't we all just get along and have fun?
No, I have to ask you, what kid thought that up? Now, you're not going to tell me it was a kid. It was like someone.
Oh, no, it wasn't a kid. Come on. And if it was a kid, like, kudos to them, honestly, because that's kind of smart.
Yeah, they need like a scholarship for law school, like right now, like, right?
Exactly. But the parents, come on, parents. It's just fun. Like flag football, like super fun, like the funnest sport I could think of. And I couldn't believe that we had gotten that letter. You know what I mean? Like, it's just pervasive. And so let's talk a little bit about what parents can do, because we've talked about the issues that we have with youth sports and, you know, our perspectives. But what are some things that you think about when you decide what your kids are going to play and how you approach like issues with the coach and issues with your kids? Like, talk a little bit about that.
I would love to, because this is like I'm in the middle of it right now. But
yeah, I know you are.
You know, me I too. Think, and I look back, like starting with my oldest, like I was way more involved. I mean, she would come home from practice and she'd be upset crying and I would like shoot off an email. And I realized like now that she's like almost 20, if you can believe that.
No.
That I really did no good things by doing that. Like I really didn't help her out. She's great now, but there's a time where like things get tough for her. And the first person she like goes to is, hey, how do I get out of this? Can you help me?
Interesting.
So, you know, I just look back and I'm like, I really don't know that I did her any favors. And now as I'm like a little wiser, and I think I sent you the link and we'll put it up on
the podcast page. Yeah.
So I love to watch you play. And it's like very simple words. And when I found this article and I read it, I was like, yeah. So the whole premise of it is that you really have to let your kid just go play, listen to their coaches, learn how to get through their own struggles. And most importantly, be there for them and tell them like when they come off the field, I love to watch you play. Like, that's it. Nothing else.
I love that. I'm going to use that because, you know, I think also like, did you do your best? All that nonsense. Like, did you work so hard? Like all that. I mean, I think it's great. But I think when it comes down to it, that is what it's about. Like, at least for me, is that I love watching my kids play. I mean, I get excited. I yell. I don't yell negative things. I yell positive things. But that's what it comes down to, is that I really love to watch them play. And isn't that what they want from us? Right? Like,
I mean,
don't
if you think about even like go back, try and remember yourself as a little kid, right? The pressure put on our kids today, it's insane. The stuff that they deal with all day, the social media, the pressure from every aspect of their lives. They get on the field, they're trying to do a sport that they love. I mean, this goes to even dancing or playing anything.
Yeah.
It goes back to that because you think about it, like all the things they're pushed on, they get in the car and they literally are just kind of like need to process everything. And if the only words you say to them are, I love to watch you play, nothing else about their performance. Yeah. What do you think you could do better? What do you think you could do? Could you run faster? You didn't work hard enough. You didn't jump high enough.
I'm like raising my hand because I'm like so guilty of some of these things. I imagine there are other parents
Absolutely.
Out there that have done
Natural
that.
Phenomenon as a parent. Yeah, yeah. You want them to succeed. You want them to win. You want them to perform your best. I'm always telling my daughter, like, not right after she plays, I'll tell you, I wait. I've learned. I've evolved. My middle daughter, like, I don't tell her right away, but I do tell her a couple days afterwards when we're just driving in the car, because that's the only time they talk to me. I'll say to her, I say, you know, as a parent, it's really hard to watch you play not to your fullest potential, because I know you and I know how fast you are, or I know how hard you work to get that shot. And then to see you go out and not do it at 100%, it's like really hard as a parent. Like, talk to me, tell me why you don't feel like you can do it, or why you didn't do it, or what you're feeling, you know? So I think that there's a better conversation to have there with your kid rather than you criticizing them.
Right. Who wants to hear that? Like, I always try to think about myself. Like, I would never want to hear that in a million years from my parent or really anybody, maybe my coach, and that's about it. And also, I feel like they're already thinking that stuff, right? Like, they're not dumb.
Oh, they're not.
Kids are really smart.
Yeah.
And they know they're thinking about what they could have done better. Already. They're wishing that maybe they had done this play instead of that play. Like, you don't need to be that one. And meanwhile, like, you're not their coach. Mm-hmm. You're their parent. And I feel like those jobs are different and we need to be supportive.
Yeah. And I think in today's society, we have actually kind of blurred those lines and our kids are feeling it. I mean, just look at like what's happening. And the more that we can back out and let them, first of all, have fun, like remember that part of it. But then also like back out a little bit, let them learn how to deal with setbacks and talking to their coaches and practicing and trying to change something that their coaches told them they needed to change without their parents running home and firing off an email.
Absolutely. And knowing when to do that. I know I talked to you the last time this happened. Well, actually, there was 2 times ago you gave me advice. And the first time was just like wait a little bit and then talk to the coach and ask him what Drew needs to work on. So like, what are some things that he might need to work on? And is there an opportunity for him to move up if he improves? So just basically not going at the coach with like a tire iron.
Sometimes you want to, right? You feel like that way. As a parent, you're like,
you do feel like it. But like, I think asking what they need to improve on, is there an opportunity for them to move up? So that was the first time. And that totally worked. Actually, he ended up moving up. The second time I sent an email and was basically just said the same thing. I said, I'm sure you're in a very difficult position, a little subversive. I'm not going to lie. It was a little like, you know, I can imagine how hard it must be, you know, but here are the things that I think Drew does really well. And here's why I think he's an asset to this specific team. And so he actually ended up moving up again.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, great lessons for my son to have learned by being put on the lower team twice now and being moved up and probably this time not being moved up.
Right.
And so I know it's hard to watch as parents, right? Especially when you feel like your person, your son or daughter is being wronged. I think sometimes it's like, okay, well, yeah, like they weren't trying, they weren't doing well. It's not surprising. But when it's surprising, I think also being able to step back and say, okay, this is a good lesson and that's what we want them to learn. But then what can we do next? Like, what's the next step?
I think it's a good point to make that there's a difference between like being an advocate for your child and then helping your child advocate for themselves.
I love that.
Sometimes they really can't. So like sending an email, like setting the stage. My son really wants to come talk to you tonight. Here's his strengths. Here's his weaknesses. He may not be able to talk to you so well. He's 9 years old.
Right.
I think that is great. And then you encourage your child to go have that conversation. Those are good skills that translate into the rest of their lives, right?
Yes.
But I will have to say, and this is a good time to bring it up, is that, you know, use your parent alarm bells.
Yes.
Like there are situations where maybe a coach or another parent is really not healthy for your child. Maybe it's a bullying, you know, so there are those situations and there are some great articles about that, like when to tell if it's a not healthy situation. And at that point, like, there's no more rules about helping your kid figure it out. You get in there and you are like, no.
Yeah, listen to your instincts. But I do think, too, like, you know your kid. So I'm all for empowering my kids to do things themselves. But I also know that they might not be at the point. I mean, because also the relationship is uneven. So you're talking about an adult
Absolutely.
And a young child. And so as much as we can support them, but I do think that we can hurt them by taking matters into our own hands and shooting off a letter letter that we didn't really want to send, or calling them up and berating them or doing all those things, it can actually hurt the kids. And I think when we really put the kids first and think, okay, well, maybe this is an opportunity for a new situation. Like, it's funny, for my son, I watched him at tryouts and I watched him skate with a different team like 2 days ago. And I was like, whoa, like, he looks really good. Mm-hmm. Like, I just didn't see him in the same way. And I think maybe he needs to be in a different place. Maybe that's good for him. You know, you think about it and you're like, oh, it's so comfortable. It's so nice with the same team and we all know everybody. And then it's like, man, you got to shake the things up.
Absolutely.
That might be good for him. They might be good for
Absolutely.
Him. So listen, I know that there are lots of parents out there that have lots to say about youth sports, and you can say them to us. We would love to hear from you. You can do a few things. You can email us, spawned@coolmompics.com. You can hit us up on Twitter. If you use the hashtag Spawn Show, it's easier for us to see your tweet. Of course, you can also tag us. It's coolmompics. And we are still, even after last week's episode, we're still on Facebook. We haven't gone anywhere. We haven't left. So you can hit us up on Facebook as well. And we're going to be back with our cool picks of the week right after this. You guys, I have been trying out our newest sponsor, Sun Basket, for the last week, and I am in love. And I have to tell you, you guys know this already, but my husband does all the cooking in my house, and I still love it. But I bet if I was cooking, I would love it even more, because they send everything you need. And we're talking organic produce, clean ingredients, every single thing that you need to make these recipes right to your door. Now, I recently decided to try to be a vegetarian, and I'm already gluten-free. I'm already dairy-free. I'm a real bag of fun here. But now I'm vegetarian. And you know what? With Sun Basket, it's so easy because they have 18 healthy options to choose from. So I didn't have to try to figure out if I could use this recipe or this recipe. They make it really easy. They have paleo, gluten-free, lean and clean, vegan, all kinds of different options for different kinds of eaters. So just a few things that you might not know about them. You may have heard them. We hear them on our favorite podcast. So, of course, we're thrilled that they're here on Spawn. But everything can be ready, okay, to your table in about 30 minutes. So they truly get that people are busy. And you know what else? I love that everything comes in one spot. You even get this really cool recipe book. So if you're like me and you're having to cook and put the stuff together and you're not super awesome at it, they walk you through it completely. So Sunbasket, they work with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh, organic produce and responsibly raised meats and seafood. Although, like I said, I only tried the vegetarian, and I say only, but no, it was super delicious. I have to tell you, it's awesome. You have to give it a try. But listen, if you're going to try it, you are going to love this deal, because if you go to sunbasket.com/spawned, you can learn more, but you get $35 off your first order. That's crazy. You have to try this. So go to sunbasket.com/spawned and get $35 off. And hey, let us know what you think. We have been loving it. I can't wait to keep trying it. And you know what? I feel healthier eating it already. So give it a try, guys. Okay, well, we're back with
Cool Picks of the Week! Cool Picks of the Week!
And Lisa, since you're our guest, you get to go first.
Yay! This is my favorite thing. I Woo-hoo! Love it. So, you know, I am super wise. I'm not going to say I'm old, but I had my birthday a couple weeks ago, and I know, I got myself a new bag.
And I saw this.
I love it.
I love
so
it,
I
too.
I was always that person that had, like, big, huge, like, bag that had so much stuff in it.
I know.
This little thing, it's from Hammett. And for those of you that know, it's this amazing collection out of Los Angeles. But it's a tiny little clutch. And you can unhook the strap that goes crossbody, and you can carry it like a clutch at night, or you just wear it like a normal purse all day long. The best part is my wallet and keys.
That's it.
And then right on the outside of the bag, there's this cool little place where your cell phone goes. So you don't have to dig through your bag to get it. And it just is so cool. It's the coolest thing. I love when you spend money and you're like, that's the best money I ever spent.
Yeah. Well, I would say so on a bag. I'm looking up right now. I'm sitting in my closet, as everybody knows, recording in my closet, and I'm looking at all my bags. And I have to go to a hockey game tonight. I'm going to the Flyers game, and they are not allowing large bags or backpacks in anymore. And so I'm literally thinking, what am I going to bring? Because I carry a backpack, but I love this idea because I love a crossbody bag.
Yep.
But I also sometimes like to take a clutch. So you're kind of getting like two in one.
And the best part is I actually got it when we were on vacation in San Diego, and I needed something that I could wear while we were like cruising around with the kids, walking around downtown. And it's nice because it's like close to you and it's just right there. And then it was fun. We got all fancied up to go out to dinner, and I took the strap off and took my fancy clutch. It was amazing. I love it.
All right. Yeah. I dig it. Okay. So mine is something that I introduced to you.
Yeah.
If you remember a little while ago, and I feel like everyone knows about it, but maybe not. And it's Trivia HQ. Are you still playing Trivia HQ, Lisa?
Unfortunately, I had a little issue. I had to like redo my phone and get all, you know when that happens.
Yes, I do.
I need to just set that back up so it reminds me to play.
Yeah, you have to set your reminders. Okay, yeah. So people who are like, what's Trivia HQ? Okay, so it's a fun trivia app where there's a large pool of money that everyone who's playing the game tries to win. And it's a game at 3:00, usually Eastern, and 9:00 Eastern. And there are 12 questions. You get 10 seconds to answer each question. They're multiple choice. And if you get to number 12 and you get it right, then you get to split the pot of money. And I don't know if people remember this, but there was a woman on Ellen a few months ago because she was screaming and yelling because she won $11 on Trivia HQ.
Yes.
Right? And everyone was like, why are you so crazy about $11? But if you play Trivia HQ, you will understand why she is so excited, because it is so hard.
I was listening to NPR the other day, and they had this guy on who's like winning a ton of money. He was a Jeopardy like contestant a while ago, so I think he's like really smart. I don't suggest quitting like your day job to play Trivia HQ.
No, don't quit your day job. But I have to say, the prizes are getting bigger. Like there was one like last week that was $300,000 pot. So it's worth trying. It's pretty kid friendly in terms of the game itself. So like my 11-year-old likes to play it. It's just really fun. Make sure you set your notifications, because you will forget that it's time to play and then you'll miss the game. And you can get extra lives, which I think is probably how a lot of people are doing it. If you invite friends and they accept your invitation, then you get an extra life. So anyway, it's just a fun diversion. I haven't won yet. I've gotten a question nine. I know. I've gotten to question nine. But anyway, and listen, if you guys download it and you play and you actually win some money, I want to hear from you. You have to pinky promise right now.
I will.
Lisa,
you have to let us know.
But if you win money, you have to email us spawned@coolmompics.com. And hey, remember, all of our cool pics and everything we talked about today will be over on our Spawned podcast page on Cool Mom Picks.
Whee!
All right. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Spawn. Thank you, Lisa, for filling in while Liz is enjoying some delicious Korean food and driving some cool cars in South Korea.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I think this was a great conversation, and we would love to hear from you. But we do have to say thanks to our engineer, John Bowen. And listeners, we love hearing from you. Leave us a review on iTunes and make sure to subscribe. You can actually do it right now while you're listening to us. And you know what? This sounds kind of weird, but when you download or save those episodes, it actually helps us. Because what happens is iTunes is like, oh, wow, there are a lot of people that are saving and downloading these episodes. This podcast must be really good. So we're going to make sure more people see it in their feeds and decide to listen to it. So do us a little favor, download and save your episodes when you listen to them, okay? Promise you'll do that for next week. Thanks for listening to Spawn. This is Kristen, and Liz will be back next week. Have a great day.